Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, we sing a lot of songs, a lot of different songs. Some you like the style, some you don't, and, you know, it's a mixed bag, you know. Do we pay attention to the words that we sing, the words that we say? And when we came to this phrase about we want to see your kingdom here, a question comes to my mind directed to myself, and I want to direct it to you. Do we really wanna? Do we really wanna? Do we really want to? I so desperately had to say want to. Not that I don't say wanna, like the lyric of the song. It's just, you know. Do we really want to see his kingdom here? Because you and I need to be aware that if his kingdom really comes here, it is going to be so totally different than anything else we've ever experienced or seen. I mean, you who come here may feel like we do church kind of right. Not that you like everything, because, you know, for church to be done just right, all of you would have to be happy and have it your way, which isn't going to happen because not all of you agree. So, he's the head of the church, and we're going to follow after him. But his kingdom come here. If you were to look at the Gospels and the ministry and the life of Jesus, everywhere he went, something different happened than what they were used to. Isn't that right, Greg? Things turned out a little different. He had a kingdom agenda. He had, you know, the knowledge of the Father, and here he is on earth. And he taught his disciples to pray, which is passed on to us, let your kingdom come here on earth. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's about his kingdom coming here. Well, if his kingdom were to show up here, it would be something very different than maybe what we have seen or even to what we practice. So when we sing words like this, we want to see your kingdom here. Think about, do we really, really, really wanna? Because if we could just pause and think about this for a moment, and I have to think about it in my life, what in my life, or in Randy, probably isn't operating and is not cool with his kingdom? Not good. It wouldn't be acceptable in his kingdom. You know, it's like when you drive into town. Sometimes you will see a listing of, you know, the municipality and their laws or speed limits or different things. Or in the old Wild West, there was the sign that said, hey, when you ride into town here, have a nice time, but check your guns in at the sheriff's office. Well, if we are going to let his kingdom come here, what in my life do I need to check in at the sheriff's office if I'm going to stay in his kingdom? Because are there things in my life that are unwelcomed in his kingdom? Because if I'm saying I wanna see your kingdom here, I want it to manifest here. I want your kingdom to come here. Then I have to embrace the whole idea that I'm going to have to change because the laws are changing. So, do the lyrics still roll off your lips so easily if we're to think about what we're singing? Think about what we're saying. Think about, do we really mean wanna? Or is it just kind of, I like the song and these are the lyrics and I can just kind of go through the motions and just sing it and, you know, feel kind of like, oh, well, he's kind of here and, you know, I feel good about it. Do you really wanna see his kingdom here? And when we say here, please don't limit it to this room. But let his kingdom come here on earth. Let his will be done in my life. Just like his will is carried out in heaven, that kingdom that I want here. So, moving to the scripture this morning, do circumstances around you, circumstances in your life, do they dictate how full of faith you are? Do circumstances dictate that? In other words, are circumstances somewhat favorable right now, and so I kind of feel like everything's peaceful in my life, so, you know, God is good, and I just have faith. Or things are challenging, or it's a whirlwind around you, or there's conflict in you or around you. Our circumstances are just kind of not going what we would think or call our way. Do those circumstances dictate how we feel in our faith, how we function in our faith? Do circumstances determine your circumstance in life? Do they determine how you perceive God? Ah, this went wrong. Oh, if there was a God up there in heaven, he wouldn't allow this. I thought you said you couldn't give me more than I can handle. Well, just a news break for you. You're still here. Maybe you and I just need to learn how to handle it better. Do circumstances in our life determine how we perceive God? I thought you were a God of love. I thought when I gave my life over to you, everything was supposed to go really easy. We don't say easy, we use other words. But what we mean is, I thought life was going to be easy. Do circumstances affect how we perceive God? That we call him into question because of circumstances? Do our circumstances affect how we praise God? I just won the lottery. Oh, God, you are awesome. And I don't even play the lottery. I just saw it on the ground. You brought it to me on the wind of your spirit. Oh, God, you're awesome. Another bill from the hospital? Why don't they just come and take my house? Ha! I thought you were going to help me, God. I had a rough week. I'm coming into church. I had a rough week, and worship's playing, and they're doing their best, and the presence of the Lord is coming in and this room, and we're just, I don't know. I had a rough week. Things aren't going my way. Blah, 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 blah. They promoted a sale in the paper. I showed up. They ran out. My kid called me. Their car's in the ditch. Blah, blah, blah. And you can just go through your list. And I don't feel so good. Probably got pneumonia after this week. Bronchitis. Probably need an inhaler. You come to this place and you're just all focused on that. There's no praise. Do circumstances that happen in your life affect how you praise Him? As if the circumstances determine how I praise or how much I'm going to pray. Do circumstances influence how much you and I trust God? Circumstances in life, do they influence how much we trust Him? In other words, I can't trust you so much, I'm going to take care of this kind of on my own. Now, God bless me. I'll handle this one. You're really busy. You know, we try to justify what we're doing in our carnality and in our human thinking. You're probably really busy. There's bigger things to deal with. I'll just take this one off your desk. I'll deal with this one. Because we don't trust Him. Circumstances don't seem to be going right, so my trust wavers in Him. You know, the interesting thing about circumstances is we use our ability to deduct and assess things in life concerning circumstances, and it gives us this tendency to rely solely on our human wisdom, our human reason. Listen, I sit with people, stand with people, visit with people, talk with people, in the office, out of the office, in the marketplace, you know, all kinds of places. And they will tell me about something that's going on in their life, because that's what we do. You know, we share. We share our life. We talk about things. Hey, this is going good. This ain't going so good. Hey, can you pray about this? Hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Maybe it's more escalated than that. I'm frustrated. Pastor, I don't have hope. I don't know. I'll just give up. I mean, I have people come in this place who don't even go to church here. They've never in the building before. They just say, I just figured I'd give it one last shot and talk to a pastor. Well, thanks for reaching to the bottom of the barrel. Here I is. They share, and I listen. They share, I listen. Whether they're a stranger to me or new to me or a friend to me or whatever it is. I even do this with myself. I listen to myself, talk to myself. Oh, don't act like you don't do it. And then I will catch myself. With the Lord's help. And He will share something with me in a way that I have not been looking at it. Because from my point of view, my way is the only way to look at it. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's you. Right? People come and tell me things, and I'll say, yeah, that, you know, that's interesting. And yeah, but, you know, what about the possibility? Just consider this. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you exactly what God's thinking. But consider this, that in your circumstance and how you're looking, have you considered this? And then just kind of share that. And they go, oh. I never thought of that. Or, yeah, I kind of thought of that, but I didn't realize that behind it there was this. Oh, see? I like the sound effects up here. Yeah. So consider the way that you are looking at circumstances in your life and your ability to deduct things, and just because you're really educated or clever or gifted somewhere in your life, remember this, it does not make you or myself an expert in every area. I've watched this. Successful people, this is a pitfall for them. And we don't help them any, by the way. Because they're successful, or they've built a name for themselves, or built a business for themselves, or God has given them the ability to make wealth. You know, people kind of go, you know, fame, local fame, world fame, whatever. Well, and so, you know, we ask their opinion about other stuff. Like, well, if they're really good over here, that must mean they know everything. And so we don't help them by saying, oh, yeah, that's really smart, and ooh, and, you know. I want to read something to you in a couple places of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. That would be circumstances that you and I try to assess, figure out, and not that that's wrong, by the way, but when we start to assess it and look at it and look at the circumstance and think that we've thought all the way around the bush on this, and that now we've settled in on our opinion, do the circumstances in our life affect our trust in God, where we are in faith, how we perceive Him, how we praise Him? Because it says this, that in difficult times will come in the last days. And then it starts to describe what people are going to be like. And you can read the list, see if any of those find their way in you or I. There's a hint of some of this in us, in the way of being lovers of ourselves, or lovers of money, or proud and arrogant, or abusive, or disobedient to their parents. I always pause after that one, just for your benefit, so that your parents feel like, I hope they heard that. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless. Get this one. In this translation of the English Standard Version, it says unappeasable. You can't appease them. It's condemned if you do or condemned if you don't. Get it? I use the word condemned, not the abbreviated word. Just relax. Slanderous, no self-control, brutal, not loving what is good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, get this, having the appearance or the form of godliness, but denying its power. Paul writes something very interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He talks about when he came to the people, the Christians in Corinth, and when he came, how he came to them and how he taught and spoke to them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start with verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of its power, of God's power. that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but it may rest in the power of God. I want to take this principle and use appropriate latitude with it so we don't just confine this principle to how Paul came to them preaching, but the message that he says, do not rest, don't let your faith rest on human wisdom, but let your faith rest in the power of God. So when we look at circumstances in our life, and does it affect how we praise Him, how we trust Him, the list goes on that I talked about, and we deduct our reasoning, are we relying on our human, what we call wisdom, which we know that, you know, the human wisdom is like the foolishness of God, as if He has any. Because His ways are higher than our ways, His ways are better than our ways, you know, all the scriptures. So here we are going through circumstances in life, and we're supposed to have this appearance of godliness and godlikeness and this form of godliness and, you know, going to church and singing the song and raise the hand and stand up and put something in the offering and do this and help out a little bit here and there and, you know, be nice to a few folks outside the building and, you know, all of that and give this appearance in this form of godliness, yet denying its power. That we look at these circumstances in difficult times, circumstances, and we put into motion our thinking, our assessing, our gauging of these circumstances in our life, and now those circumstances begin to dictate how full of faith I am, how I praise Him, how I perceive Him, you know, all of those things. That I start to rely on my human wisdom because though my human wisdom is engaged in this ability to deduce things and try to figure them out, that my mind can become actually very undisciplined. And so my tendency to become undisciplined and run away on this train of thought, and it affects how I perceive God and relate to Him and when I praise Him and when I don't and when I bless Him and when I borderline curse Him. I don't want to really curse Him. I just want to say, I thought you were a God of love. You know, that's just this side. Do I rely on human wisdom? Or does my faith rest upon His power? Does my faith and how I perceive God rest upon His power? Does my faith in God and on His power, does that determine how I praise? How I will trust? How I will follow Him? Not circumstances, not difficulty. Because with difficulty and circumstances, my mind gets in motions and I start to look at circumstances and then gauge God. My faith, does it have unrest because of my undisciplined thinking about circumstances and then projecting it on God? Or am I disciplined in my thought? And it's engaged in assessing circumstances, but it is not going to influence my faith because my faith rests upon the power of God. So next time you're assessing circumstances in your life and it's going to start to dictate how you are in your faith, how you relate to God, how you perceive God, how you praise Him, how you trust Him, why don't you discipline your thoughts? Why don't I discipline my thoughts and just start to scroll through what I know in the Scripture. Just a few things. Like from the very beginning, when Adam sinned and Eve sinned. I mean, this is a problem for humanity. I mean, God, who restrained His rightful, justifiable judgment and showed mercy. Did his power to restrain his holiness, did it fall short? Or did his power show up? What about in the desert when God's people were leaving slavery and going to the promised land? Was his power then, was it short to provide them food? Did he bring it in miraculously at times? Did he cause water to flow from a rock that was struck? Was his power short then? Because their circumstances didn't look good. Sorry about the coughing. Was God's power short on Mount Carmel? When Elijah goes toe-to-toe with the priests of idol worshipers? I mean, did God, I'm sorry if you don't know all these Bible stories I'm relating to. Just know that the stories I'm relating to you just talk about the character of God and that he never fell short. And that our faith can rest on his power. You can throw it. Thank you. Why is this half a bottle? So, just if you're listening to the podcast, I was coughing, so they brought me a half a bottle of water. Where did you get this from? On my desk. I will drink by faith. It's mine. Brittany, thank you. You don't need to get me a full bottle of water. I'm good now. Thank you, sweetheart. Oh, wonderful daughter of mine. What's that? Yes. Practice what I'm preaching. Yes. The principle that works really good for me is if I practice it before I preach it. Not now I preach it, now I got to go practice it. That God's power, was it short on Mount Carmel when Elijah went toe-to-toe with idol worshipers? He's the God that answered by fire. The circumstance, by the way, it didn't look good because, the sacrifice was like soaked in water. Elijah didn't go say, God, listen, this is really wet. Should we wait for this to dry out? Was God's power short when Jonathan and his armor bearer were outnumbered by Philistines? No. Was God's power short or not present when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and a great storm came up and they are panicking? And they are fearing for their lives. Now you got to remember that some of these disciples were fishermen. Their life was out on the water in boats. They have faced some storms before. But this must have been a real doozy for them to panic and come to him and say, "Don't you even care? I thought you were a God of love. Look at the circumstances we're in." And Scripture doesn't tell us this. This part is just imaginary in my mind, but it's how I see it. And it's not the only way to see it. But I'm sure Jesus didn't pop up and go, "Oh, okay, guys, all right. Well, let me think." I could see Jesus laying there because he was asleep while this was happening. They'd come and wake him up. "Oh, don't you care?" Panicking. I could just see him kind of lay there. maybe play sleep a little longer. Jesus! And then give them the old one-eye look as they're in the boat. Okay. Oh. You guys, I think maybe I want a cup of coffee first. Kind of like maybe some of you are in the morning. And Jesus comes out to the boat and he speaks to the storm. Be still! And the lake was like glass. It would have been a great day for barefoot and behind a ski boat. At that point, I mean, it's still. Was his power short? Was his power short to endure crucifixion? Because remember, he could have called 10,000 angels to come to his side. But his power was not short to endure the cross. Was his power short when he descended into hell and hell had its opportunity to hold him? No, he's the resurrected Christ. Sin, broken. Hell couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He's alive. Was his power short when the chips were down? If we know this about God and about his Son and about his Holy Spirit, then why is my trust in him, my praise towards him, my exercising of faith and faithfulness, why would these things be determined by circumstance in my human wisdom? Why wouldn't I put my faith and have it rest on the power of God? Whatever difficulty you face, whatever circumstance that you face, will his power be short for you? Hey, I'm acquainted with this life. Don't think because I'm a pastor that, you know, I'm not acquainted with life. I mean, there's certain things I'm not acquainted with, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm his. He bought me. He bought you. And there's certain things in life I'm not acquainted with personally. I've seen, I've watched, I've observed. So I've not experienced everything in life, just like you have not. But I'm acquainted with life. I know what it is to be brokenhearted. I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is not knowing where something's going to come from to meet the need. I know what it is to get an emergency call. I know about these circumstances. I know about things that kind of show up in life again, and it's like this cyclical thing that keeps coming around. Cyclical thing, sorry. Keeps coming around. You think you've beat it for a while, and time is stretched, and you haven't. Oh, and the struggle comes. The thought comes. Hey. Don't let your faith rest on human wisdom. Let your faith rest. Rest. The full weight of it. Without holding back. I got an image of this last week. We have a 4 going on 5 month old St. Bernard puppy. Aww. Aww. I decided to get down on the floor because we have a little play session every once in a while. And this was late at night, and I was up alone with her. And I get her. There's a squeaky toy. It's fairly big because, you know, she's big. You know, small dog toys, they can get caught in her jowl, and you won't find it for days. Oh, I'm serious. There's stuff she chews on outside, little pieces of wood, and then she'll come in, and she has no stick in her mouth. And about 10 minutes later, it's like a branch falls out of her lip. I mean, just stuff, you know, they're big, they're good, you know, it's just. So I'm playing with her. I got this big toy. It's a pig. It's a hog. And it makes a duck sound. Figure that. Quack, quack. Quack, 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 you know. Do pigs fly? Anyhow. So I'm playing with her, and she grabs a toy, and I'm leaned up against the kitchen island. My legs are straight out on the floor, and she's got to grab it, and then she's got to lean on me, and then she's got to not sit down on me, just let go on me, you know. Legs go out, slide on the wood floor, and kaboom. And I'm thinking, man, she's getting heavy. And she just... Then the pig will fall out of her mouth, and I'll make the duck sound with it, and she'll get up and grab it, and then she'll come back over and fall on me. Rest all her weight on me. This is fine at 50 pounds. Her dad was 200. Her mother was 175. Good thing I kept my saddle from when I had horses. Rest on me. Our faith should completely rest on the power of God, not upon your human wisdom. You can make your human wisdom as Christian as you want, and I understand when we are redeemed, we can figure things out, we can assess things. He gives wisdom to generously to those who ask. I understand that. But that is all on the basis of a faith that rests upon His power. Don't let your faith waver or your perception of God waver because your circumstances, from your view, stink. Do you wanna have His kingdom there in your circumstance? For it to happen, your faith must rest upon His power. These things I talked about, He did not have to do any of these things that I walked through in the Scripture. He didn't have to restrain His judgment. He didn't have to restrain His mercy. He didn't have to, you know, do these things. He did them because He is God and He loves people. And He wants you and I to know that He has given us an ability to figure some things out. But don't rest on human wisdom. You rest upon the power of God. There are things I read in the Scripture and circumstances, and then God answers and does it. And I think, well, nobody drafted that plan. I mentioned Jonathan and his armor bearer. I like Jonathan. I don't know. I just like him. At least a little bit that's in Scripture about him. I like him. I like when he goes with his armor bearer and it's just the two of them and they approach an outpost of Philistines who they're at war with. And they're down below, and the Philistines are somehow elevated up on this outpost up on a hill. And his armor bearer says, "Hey, listen, Jonathan, I'm with you heart and soul." And Jonathan, and he's kind of like, "I'm with you heart and soul, so what's your plan?" And Jonathan, he's relying on the power of God because he just says, "Well, this is the plan. We'll let them see us." So far, in human wisdom, this is not a good plan. You want to sneak in and have stealth and take one out, drag him behind a rock, and they're going, "Hey, what happened to, you know, Harvey?" Sorry, I don't know Philistine names. other than Goliath, and there was only one of him. So let them see us. And if they call out to us to come up there, then that's the sign that God is with us and going to bring us victory. If they say they're going to come down to us, that's the other sign. That sign means, run! I threw that in there. That's not in the scripture. They call and say, come on up here. We'll teach you a lesson. And Jonathan says, God's with us. Because God's not hindered from saving, whether by many or by few. Human wisdom says, oh, let's do the calculations, let's do the math. Oh, do we have the numbers? Do we have do we have enough people? His faith rested fully. And you know how I know it rested fully? You know how it rested fully on him? Because it could have cost Jonathan his life. So when you look at your circumstances and try to figure things out, it's time for me and for you to be able to assess, look at it the best we can, move with the wisdom that God gives us. But my faith, my praise, my trust in Him is not going to waver by circumstance. It'll always be consistent and increasing because my faith rests upon His power to show up when I need Him. Lord, I really need to know the plan because I'm going in here and I don't know what's going to happen. Walk in. Stay cool. Keep your wits about you. Exercise my principles. And I will show up the moment I'm needed.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.